build the source in itself. So why such a project? Well, the first motivation is that a reliable single photon source is required for quantum cryptography. But the main issue of this project is to make it an educational project. The project was designed to be handled by one student, me, and the main idea is to create a prototype of a single photon source that could be sold to high schools and universities. So the goal is to make it almost a plug and play device. So consequently, I'm working under a few constraints. First, the project has to be as cheap as possible. Then it has to be as small as possible, hence the name. I'm working on a non-optical breadboard of about 50 by 50 centimeters. And the goal is to make it easy and robust. So I'm aware that giving too many details about the project would become a bit technical and quite boring. So I just want to give you a rough idea of what is a single photon source and how am I gonna build the source in itself. So, and in the last part, I'll give you the first few results I got. So first, what is a single photon source? Well, according to the name, we want one photon at a time. That means that if I produce one photon, I want a dead time in which no other photons will be produced. The ideal case would be to have, if I record the arrival times of the photons, photons produced in at a given time with a well-known time interval in between. So we're gonna see that the natural realization of such a single photon source is a two-level system. So now I'm gonna present different types of single photon source. So as I said, the natural realization of such a single photon source is a single dipole or a quantized level system. Why? Because once the photon is emitted from an optical transition between two levels, it takes time to reload the system because you have to re-excite the system, the dipole. So it assures you that you cannot produce two single photons at the same time. There are a few ways to create such a single photon source. The first one is to trap atoms or ions and use an optical transition between two levels. So here you have atoms or ions trapped in an electromagnetic trap called the Boltzmann trap, and you can actually manipulate the atoms or ions with a laser. Another way to create such a source is to simulate a quantum well using quantum dots of semiconductor between two layers of other semiconductors. And there are actually a few other ways to do such a source, but I won't give any further details because I don't know much about this. Another source of so-called single photon source is an attenuated laser. But it's not really a single photon source because the photon number distributions actually follows Poissonian distributions. That means that if you have a probability P1 to measure to produce one photon, you actually have a probability P2 proportional to P1 squared, and in fact a probability PN proportional to P1 to the N to produce N photon at the same time. But this kind of source is often used for QKD, even if it's not completely secure. The other type of source of approximated single photon source relies on parametric down conversion. So it's the system that I'm gonna use to create my single photon source. So it's not an actual single photon source, but we are gonna be able to show that it's much more reliable than an attenuated laser. And I just want to give you a brief overview of non-single photon sources. The so-called chaotic classical light that you can find in incandescent light bulbs, neons, or even spectral lamps. This type of light is produced by a whole assembly of atoms, so you have no real control of the of each atom. So that means that you have a high probability of creating two photons at the same time. So that's why it's not a real single photon source. So, but how do we characterize such a single photon source? Well, it's obvious that one detector is not enough. Why? Because after the recording of one photon, you have a dead time in which the detector is going to come back to its initial state. And so you're not able to record any other photon. And this dead time is about 15 nanoseconds for many detectors. So that means you're not able to record several photons which are temporally spaced by less than 50 nanoseconds, which is not enough. So I'm going to introduce you a theoretical tool which is called the second order coherence function G2, and we're going to see that it's a good theoretical tool to characterize a single photon source. What is the G2 function? Well, the G2 function measures the correlation of the intensity of the field, of the electric field. So you can see here that I measure that it gives the expectation value of the product of the intensity of the field at time t equal 0 and time t equal 2, and the whole thing is normalized. And why is it so interesting? Well, because the intensity of the electrical field is related to the number of photons, and that's going to give us good information about the source. First, how do we measure the G2 function? The first thing is to record the first photon. So here I have my incoming beam, which is split into two halves by a 50-50 beam splitter. So first I'm going to record the first photon on this detector. Record, we're going to call that time t equals 0. Then I'm going to record a second photon at time t equal tau. I'm going to iterate this measurement many, many times and make the statistics on tau and built an histogram with the arrival times, and that's going to give me the probability of having two photons and the correlation of the field in itself. This works fine because the photon coming here is either transmitted or reflected, so you have no possibility to measure two photons on the to measure one photon on the two detectors. So why is it so interesting to use the G2 function? Well, each type of light has, in fact, a different G2 function. You can see here that the classical light ranges from 1 to 0, while the single photon source ranges from 0 to 1. How can we understand that? If I record the arrival times of the photons, that means that classical light has a tendency to produce photons that are benched. That means that they come several at a time. So that's not really what we want. What we want is a source that gives photons that are equally spaced in time. But we can generalize this to another type of light, which is called the anti-bunched light, in which photons have a high, really small probability of coming several at a time, but are going to come one at a time. So that means that if I record the correlation of the field, for example, for the classical light, I have a high probability of measuring two photons at a time. That means that I'm going to have this little bump on the G2 function. And if I want to create a classical light, I want exactly the opposite. I want a dip around tau equals 0. So that's why it's so interesting to use the G2 function. So now I'm going to give a few details about my experimental setup. So this setup is using a nonlinear optical effect, which is called parametric down conversion. Using a nonlinear medium, I'm going to be able to generate new frequencies. So what I do is to pump the PPKTP crystal, the nonlinear crystal, with a blue photon at 4 or 5 nanometer. And the blue photon is going to split into two infrared photons at 8-10 nanometer. So here you can see the pump, and it splits into two beams, which are commonly called signal and Idler. It has to be along to be made along two conservation equations. First, the conservation of the energy of the blue photons and the signal annihilator photons, and then the conservation of the momentum of the photons. So here is a picture of the setup. So you can see that it's actually pretty small, and that's what we wanted. So here you have the lens, which is used to focus the blue beam into the crystal, which is hidden in this plastic box. So why such a plastic box? Because in fact, we want to control the temperature of the crystal to optimize the efficiency of the process. So the crystal is hidden in a copper oven, and then the whole thing is inside a plastic box. So it's really simple, and that's really what we wanted. But how am I going to create such a single photon source with two photons? In fact, as I said, the photons are created by pairs. So first, I need to separate the two beams, Edler and signal. That's quite easy, because the two beams have a different polarization. So using a polarizing beam splitter, I'm able to separate the two beams. And then I'm going to use a smart trick to create my single photon source. I'm going to use the Edler photon to herald the twin photon of the pair. So how I'm going to do that? First, the detector will click on the Edler side. And that means that at this time, I have one photon hitting the detector. And so I have a high probability of having a single photon right here on the other side. So during a certain time window, I'm going to open a shutter and let the photon come in. And I have now a single photon here, a heralded single photon. So now I'm going to give the first few results and the next steps that are actually considered for this experiment. Well, actually, the first few results I got are not about parametric down conversion, but on the inverse process called second harmonic generation. And I'm going to explain why. So the second harmonic generation is the production of a blue photon at 4 or 5 nanometer when I pump with two red photons at 8, 10, which are going to merge into the PPKTP crystal. So why do I study such a process? Well, first, because the efficiency of the second harmonic generation is much higher than the efficiency of the parametric down conversion. So here you can see that we have a efficiency of 0.03%. So that's not big, but you can still see it because the blue beam is really bright. And that gives a rough estimate of the efficiency we could get from parametric down conversion. And you can see that it's really weak. And then the other reason is that it's going to help me to find the optimal parameters to optimize the efficiency of the parametric down conversion. Because as I said, I'm going to tune the temperature. So this will give me a rough idea of the optimal temperature and the optimal wavelength for the parametric down conversion. It gives you a rough idea. I cannot say right now if it's going to be exactly the same, but it should be really close. Another reason why I study second harmonic generation is that you can actually show that it's nonlinear, because the power of the second harmonic generated beam is proportional to the square of the power of the pump. And that's why I plotted the second harmonic generation power on here. This is the pump power here, and you can see that it's almost nicely fitted by a quadratic polynomial. So now the next steps are to find the red photons in itself, because so far I've only been able to see those little two peaks around 8, 10, but I'd like them to merge into one big one and with a larger intensity. And then I would like to plot the G2 function itself and study a bit deeper the statistics of the source, because it has been shown that it could be used as a single photon source, but it's not really completely clear. So I'd like to study this a little deeper. And finally, a future direction for this project, according to the educational issue, would be to create a double seed experiment, because if you have a single photon source, you can show that the photons are hitting the CCD camera almost randomly at the beginning, and then after a few hundred thousand counts, you can actually see the interference pattern appear, and that could be nice in an educational issue. So this project is a bit peculiar because it's a really short project and not a completely not a complicated one, but I really like this project because you are able to unveil a lot of quantum mechanics, simple quantum mechanics to let's say high school students or university students, and you can almost understand from A to Z the complete the way the photon sources are produced. So that's all I want to say. Thank you for your attention. This one? Yeah, this is the down-converting photons I got at the really the very beginning, and that was really weak, so that's why I started to study the second harmonic generation, but that's the down-converted photon. Using a spectrometer. Yeah. So you can see that there are actually noise on the signal, but you are able to resolve almost nicely the two peaks. Yeah. Yeah. The momentum are collinears, but the polarization are. The polarization are different. It's like we have chosen this crystal for several reasons. Like the crystal is cut with such an angle that you have a narrow phase matching. So the two conditions are fulfilled. Yeah, that's the problem. We're gonna study the source with devices that are actually pretty expensive, but the way we are building the source requires only a laser and then a few optical elements. So the source in itself should be pretty cheap, but the way we're gonna study it requires lots of devices. Yeah, but you know that's only the very beginning of this project, so the whole the educational issue gave birth to this project, but it's only the very beginning, so we are really, really far from an actual prototype of the single photon source. Yeah, that's why I want to study. I didn't mention that, but that's why I want to study the statistics, because it was shown by other groups that it should be way better than an attenuated a laser. But how to what? Oh, the fact that we measure one photon should create a collapse in the wave function of in the field state, and that should reduce the probability of having several photons. But I'm still studying a bit the theory, and as I said, it's only the very beginning, so I'm not quite sure of that. That's why I want to study much deeper the whole source in itself. The optical parameters? No, not with the Selmayr equation. I know some people did, but haven't studied that yet. What power? Of the what? Oh, the blue laser is about 70 milliwatts. But it's not pulsed, so it's a bit weak. The project was designed to be handled with a budget of about $30,000, but we are a bit above. $2,000. I think so, but I'm not sure. Ray actually wanted to create a source with less than $100. $500. In fact, the person in charge of the purchasing of this crystal thought it would be much more efficient, but according to the other groups, that's the normal efficiency. But there are a few different reasons why we use such a crystal. First, you have no problems of walk-off, if you know what it means. So that's easier to let's say align the crystal, because the input angle is not really important, and in the other crystal you always have the two beams that are separated, and here you using the periodically Pauling you can actually have the two beams completely superposed. For a true single photon source, it goes down to zero normally. I haven't measured that yet. People have showed that it goes down really close to zero in the experimental errors, and I'm not quite sure, but it's about 0.1 or so, or even lower. 0.1 is 10%. Yeah.